and then also to the Greek. And it says, as it is revealed from faith to faith, that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Well, it was about 2 years ago, and a brother came to me. He was about 6 years at this time in the body. And he came to me and asked me a question. And his question go like this. I want you to stay with me today now. Those on the right, middle, left, stay with me. Don't move, stay with me. I might need some, I might need you to hold me up. Because when I heard, let me keep going. So he asked me a question. He said to me, Brother Taylor, do you really believe that somebody raised from the dead? All right? It's question number one. Mm-hmm. Now hold on to your seat now, because you might start getting mired now. He said number two. Do you really believe that there is a God? Mm-hmm. So how you think that I responded to this one? How did you think that I respond? Did you think that I quote 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with fear and meekness. Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. What about 1 Corinthians 15:1? We say, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Did I say that to him? No, I did not. Did I go back to the prophets? You know, the prophets are sure words because they never fail. In Isaiah 53, verses 1, who believe our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and out of a root of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when he see him, and there is no beauty we shall see or desire in him. Did I say that to him? No, I did not. So, right about now, everybody is on their seat and they probably say, what in the world did you say to him? Would you want to know what I said to him? You sure? All right. When I heard those two questions, I felt like I was hit with Jeremiah hammer. I was overwhelmed. I was not sure what just happened. I feel lost for a minute. I was even second-guessing myself. Come on. I was anxious. I was frustrated. I was unable to speak. I had brain fog, unclear thoughts, loss of word. I felt like I was just taken to the third heaven. Really, to tell you the truth, I had an out-of-body experience. This out-of-body experience, like my spirit just left my body and was just floating in the air. And me and the individual was having a conversation, but my spirit was out there. That's how bad it was. It was so surprising. It was hard to believe. Now you're probably saying, we're going to even talk more about this in the after sermon classes. Because you're probably going to say, well, you just say the brother is a Christian, and the first thing before you become a Christian, it says the first thing you must do is that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. So how could he make those comments? Second, John 6 and 45 says, it's written in the prophet, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who had heard and learned from the Father cometh to me. Hearing is very important, isn't it? If you did not listen while you were in school, how did you receive a high school diploma? When we come to worship, we come to worship God. To worship God, we have to understand who God is. We can't physically see God because he is a what? A spirit. So those prophet and apostle that God put his word in their heart, they speak to us by the spirit on written paper, not on stone like Moses, but on paper. And then we transfer the word from the paper to the heart. That's the way it works?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, so this person, in 6 years, they had wasted 624 messages that Brother Assembly bring forth and Brother Blind bring forth. That Sunday and Wednesday class, all those messages went to waste. And I don't know, how long do it take you to create a sermon? Wow, well, I was trying to be generous. I put 7 on here.
Okay.
So I was generous, so probably you have to double this number. So 4,368 hours of study went down the drain because of not listening. A lot of you have profession in here, right? And if you did not listen to your professor, you wouldn't become a doctor, would you? You wouldn't become attorney. What about engineer? Physical therapy? Registered nurse? Did you listen before you get your degree? You have to, right? What about being a pilot? I know Brother Ellis, he listened because he's still here. Yeah, he listened very carefully. He know how to lift that plane up, and he know how to land it.
Right.
No, that's right. So I know he listened. This doesn't apply to you. I know you listen. So the question here I like to ask, does God exist? Okay. This is an age-old question that been argued about throughout the ages, whether God exists or not. All right? So we're going to talk about the omnipotent creator from a science perspective. All right? God revealed himself to human in many ways. Can you give me some of the ways that God shows himself? He shows himself to human in many ways. In nature, he wake you up. Yeah, he sure did. Say in us, we breathe, move, and have our existence, right?
Yes, sir.
So God, he wake us up. We breathe air. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, as you read about God breathing to man, you had read that, the what? The breath of life. God breathes into us. And if you notice, anytime God breathes, things become functional or alive.
Beautiful.
That's how the power of God is. Anything God breathes on, it become functional or become alive. So you just reveal some of the way that God does it through creation, as we're going to be going to Genesis chapter 1. He does it through science. He does it through Jesus Christ. He revealed himself through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, through prophecy and miracle and chosen men. All right? So we're talking about science perspective. So what is this science we're talking about? Science is simple. We use science in our daily life without even knowing we're using science. Science is the knowledge gained from carefully study of structure, behavior, physical world, especially by watching, measuring, and doing experiment, and from conclusion drawn from facts or example. That's just basic. That's science. All right? So now, the Bible says, I want everybody to say it with me. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning.
The beginning.
God created
the heavens.
And the earth.
It
seems like everybody's with me this morning. I know we probably read that word many times and we just dismissed it. But you know, there's a lot in Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1 reveals a lot of things. Okay? There are three elements that in Genesis 1 and 1. So God doesn't have to go into detail telling you how he created the earth or the galaxy and put a star there, the moon and the sun. He doesn't have to do that. All he does is letting you know that he's real. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God is not saying, when I was made or anything like that. God's not saying, because God doesn't have beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's talking about when he started everything. So we got three elements there. If you put those three elements in order, do you have any Dunkin' Donut card today? All right, he messing me up now. I'll give you two Dunkin' Donut card next week, since I have to delay. All right, can you tell me the three elements that is right there? Genesis. One. Y'all got to say it loud. Creation. Three elements there. Three elements. You got to give me all three elements, and you got to give me them in order. God and what? God, heaven, and earth. Anybody else? There's three elements that present there. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not quite. Not quite. You don't get it? My son know a lot about science, so soon as I say it, he quoted out. Yeah, I say, man, this guy is smart. He go to East Baltimore Church of Christ. All right. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's three elements that's there that God started in a miraculous way. But today, each one of us that going to create something or make something, we need these three elements to make whatever we're making. These three elements must be presented for us to make anything. And that's what God is trying to tell you, that he's real and that he's an intelligent God. All right, let me stop suspending you and give you those three. You got time. In the beginning, God created time. When he say in the beginning, he's talking about time. God created. What did he create? The heavens. What's the heaven? Space. All right. So he created time, he created space, then he created matters. So you need those three elements, anything you're going to build. If I'm building a house, I got to know how big the house is, and I have to know the space that I need to put the house on. All right? But first of all, I need time. Because I can't build if I don't have time. Right? And if I have matters and I don't have space, I still can't build. So I have the tool and the material to build, but if I have no space, I still can't build. So all three of them got to be in order. So that's how we know that God exists. That's the intelligence of science. You got me? That's science-based. In Romans 1:18-20, Brother Blanche, can you read that? This is science. Paul is mentioning about science here. Listen to him. Romans 1:18-20. He'll be there in a minute.
He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven,
right,
against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
That's right.
Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse."
Amen. Thank you. So those who try to suppress God's word in their heart as untruth or not real. Paul says that the things that God created, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." They suppress the truth. How they do it? They do it in unrighteousness. They're telling themselves a lie in their heart. The Apostle Paul explained God's anger is revealed against humanity, against sinful and ungodly people. He asserted that those who live in wickedness are deliberately suppressing the truth. Paul argued that the knowledge of God is evident and is accessible to everyone because he had made it known through his creation. The natural world revealed God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature so clearly that people have no excuse for not acknowledging him. Paul stated that the evidence of God is all around us. Therefore, people are accountable for recognizing and honoring God. You can't say there's no God. You're not being real to yourself. You're being dishonest. What about Psalms 19 and 1? Get Psalms 19 and 1.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Amen. How does the psalmist just look up in the heavens and say, "It declare God works"? Because he knows in his heart that there's a God. God put his word in our heart when he created us. That's part of the mechanism that God created in us. A heart to search and find him. As Acts chapter 17 and round 24 stated, right? If we search for him or grope for him, we will find him. The Apostle Paul, the psalmist says, "The heaven and the sky reveal God and reflect the majesty and the craftsmanship of God." It is a poetic way of saying that by observing the beauty and the complexity of the universe, one can see evidence of God's glory and his creative power. The heaven is God's declaration that shows us his most significant and intelligent nature. That's science. Science play a fundamental role in our life today by providing knowledge, understanding that allow us to develop new technology, solve practical problems, make informed decisions about our health, environment, society, and ultimately improving the quality of life across variety of aspects of our daily existence, from the food we eat to the transportation we use to the medical treatment available to us. All science. And it works, right? Because some of the treatment that they have today, 50 years ago, they didn't have it. You will die. So man is getting smarter and he's learning more about science. And that was the origin of science is God, as he showed us in Genesis 1 and 1. So with the Big Bang theory now, that's another thing. Man tried to put a monkey wrench in God's word. A massive explosion lead to a creation of everything. That's like saying an explosion happened in a factory and Webster Dictionary just come forth out of nowhere. It's impossible. Explosion does not exhibit an intelligent personality of its own. You ever seen something explode and something intelligent came forth from it? Destruction and chaos come from it, not intelligent. I don't know if I'm speaking to you this morning. You ever see something explode? And what comes from the explosion? Devastation, destruction, chaos, confusion. All right. So sometimes when people say things, we just have to excuse it. That's just a theory they comes up with. All right, our proposition. Science is not a battle between God and man. Instead, it reveals the knowledge and the reality that God exists. All right. That's what science is. It's based on science principle. Hebrew chapter 11 and 3. Can you read that one? Hebrew 11 and 3. We don't have to. Hebrew 11 and 3. Got that one?
Mm-hmm.
By faith.
By faith,
mm-hmm.
We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
You hear that? What the writer there is saying that we see the world out there and we know the heaven is so high. They're talking about how many light years away. They doesn't even use miles. They use light years because the universe is so large. They can't use mileage. So what common sense tells us, what the Hebrew writer there, he using typical common sense science. He's saying that a 10-foot tall man or whatever tallness a man could get, he doesn't build a ladder going a trillion miles up and make the heaven and the earth. It can't happen. So in other words, what he's saying is that invisible force that is superior to us created it. That's the only explanation. Instead of talking about a Big Bang can't just create this universe, and they don't even know how large a universe is. They just sent a new satellite up there, and they start to learn so much about our universe. It's beyond our comprehension. The knowledge of God. God is so great. So for 1 minute, you can't think that God does not exist. If you exist, God exists. All right. An illustration. We have a 747 airline, right? So if you were to go to an inhabited island, and came across a perfect functional aircraft for the first time, would you assume the aircraft evolved naturally or that an aircraft maker created. The first time you go to, you're on this island and you're seeing an aircraft for the first time, never seen one before, would you assume that it evolved? Or do you assume that an aircraft maker makes it? It's in Hebrew, it's telling us that for everything, there's a maker. For the heaven and earth, there's a maker. There's no explosion that make anything. Then you have to go into who make the explosion. And what it made of. And what life form it takes on. The question go on and on. You have to believe in God because God make himself visible to you. He is invisible, but the things that he make physical, those are evident that he does exist. Yes, sir. That's simple science. All right. If a 747 is made up of 6 million parts, 6 million parts that make up a 747, if one part was missing from the 747, right, center, left, would you want to take the chance and fly on it? Why? But why not? Because the information that was given to you, that it has 6 million parts, and say, I know all the parts on it, and I said, whoa, there's a part that's missing, but I'm going on the plane and sit down and read my book and then go to sleep, and I should wake up at my destination. You're going to be worried, right? Because that one part could cause a catastrophe. So you don't want to take that chance, right? No. Our fallen condition. It says, when we fail to listen, our brain compensate by filling in the unlearned information, leading us to create an alternative reality that aligns with our thoughts and belief. We then process this information as truth through repeated rehearsal until it becomes ingrained in our mind. That's what we do. With information that we doesn't have or we don't believe. We rehearse what other people say and we keep doing it until we believe it. That's the fallen condition. Man deny the existence of God to avoid consequence, shame, guilt, and responsibility for their action. They become free to do whatever they please because they feel that there is no God. But if you don't believe in God, do you know you become your own God? And in Judges 21:25, say, in those days, there were no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:13-14. Can you read that, Brother Black?
These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
That's right.
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
They're spiritually discerned. You can't know the things of God until you align yourself with the Creator that makes you. It's just like when you was a child, your mother and father tell you to do things and you keep rebelling. Why I have to do it? But when you start growing older and they start to teaching you why you have to do certain things, then you are now knowledgeable to understand and become more calm and disciplined in listening to them because of the information is now accessible to the mind and the brain. All right. Okay, let's go We're coming down to the end now. Human autonomy. Psalms 139, verses 14 says, 139, Psalms 139 and 14.
I will praise you,
mm-hmm.
for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
Marvelous are your works,
mm-hmm.
and that my soul knows very well.
That's right. Marvelous. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your work are wonderful, and I know it very well. When the psalmist look at the body, and he sees the marvel of how the body operates, he said, wow, God knows what he's doing. I'm well made. Paul also described this in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read some of it. We're not going to read all of it because of time's sake. Verses 13 going on down.
For by one Spirit,
mm-hmm.
we were all baptized into one body.
Right.
Whether Jews or Greeks.
All right.
Whether slaves or free. And have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
That's right.
For in fact, the body is not one member,
mm-hmm.
but many.
The many.
If the foot should say, mm-hmm. because I am not a hand, I am
right.
not of the body.
Uh-huh.
Is it therefore not of the body?
Right.
And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is it therefore not of the body?
All right.
If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing?
Mm-hmm.
If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?
Okay, read verse 25 now. We stop there.
That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care mm-hmm. for one another.
All right. So let's look at what Paul is saying. He's using science to look at the body, and he's comparing the human body with Christ's body. He's letting you know that God is so wonderful that the way he creates our body, he doesn't make big ears or just a big head by itself. He add parts to it. And there's reasons for the parts. So it might assist the other parts that in need. Like if I need some water, I'm thirsty, I have to use my leg to go walk and get some water. I need some anyway. All right, sorry. So that's what Paul is explaining, the complexity of the body. And the psalmist say, it is so wonderfully made. Do you know that they don't have any doctor on the planet that specializes in the whole body? They might know something about each part of the body, but that's not their specialty. If a person is orthopedic, you can't, and you need a brain surgery, you don't go get an orthopedic to do a brain surgery, right? You have to use a urologist. That's how it works. That's how complex the body is. One doctor can't study the whole body. It's impossible. By the time he reach halfway down the body, he forget what he learned first. That's how complex the body is. Amen. All right. Let's look at how the body work. If you place your hand on a hot object, a stove or something, anything hot, what do you think happen? As Paul explained how the body works. So when you touch a hot object, the complex series of events unfold within your nervous system, culminating in a swift response. All right. You have sensory receptors underneath your skins. That's how lovely God is when he's creating the body. Right? You have sensory under your skin, a specialized nerve ending. And these endings, they're in your skin. And they detect heat. These receptors are sensitive to sudden temperature change. So anytime the temperature starts change, the hand say, hey, I'm feeling something here. So the neutral impulse, the heat stimulate triggers an electrical signal that is rapidly transmitted along sensory neutron to the spinal cord. And then you have the reflex arch. The reflex arch job, this is where the magic happens. Before the signal reaches the brain, the spinal cord processes the information and initiates a response known as reflex arch. That's when you go, ouch, it's hot. All right? That's what the reflex does. So when it responds, the motor neuron, the spinal cord sends signal via motor neuron to the muscle in your hand, causing them to contract and pull your hand away from the heat source. This happened incredibly quickly, in fraction of a second, often before you consciously perceive the pain. The brain activation, while the reflex occurs, the signal also reaches the brain, and the sensory cortex processes the information, creating awareness and the pain and the heat, of the pain and the heat, and other brain regions such as the thalamus and the amygdala, amygdala, that's what it is. Tongue twister. I say that word so much. I forget. Contribute to the emotional response and memory formation associated with the experience. So this work twofold. The body remembers what it experienced when you touch the heat source. So it keeps that memory in the back of your brain, and then what it also does is protect you by next time you come into the same situation not to repeat the same thing again. You see how sensible the body is. Can any explosion make a body like that? Only God can. No wonder the psalmist says that we're so wonderfully made. God made us. All right, I'm about to come to a close now. In Timothy, the 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. You read that, Brother Branch, and then Second Timothy 2:11-13.
Okay. This is a faithful saying.
Faithful saying.
For if we died with him.
If we die with him.
We shall also live with him.
We're going to live with him.
If we endure.
If we endure.
We shall also reign with him.
We're going to reign with him.
If we deny him.
If we deny him.
He also will deny us.
Wow. He cannot deny himself. Amen. See that? That's the last part.
Yep. If we are faithless, mm-hmm. He remains faithful.
Right.
He cannot deny himself.
He cannot deny himself. So, remember, God is a faithful God. Amen. He called us for us to be faithful, just like he is faithful. He said if we are faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to us. And even if we die, we shall what? Also live with him. So dying is not a part of God's plan. See, you might have a job and you have a lot of benefits on your job. But making you alive again is not part of the benefits. So if any of you that just been baptized in Christ, that's the greatest achievement you have accomplished and the greatest decision you could ever make in your lifetime. There's a lot of benefit in Christ. There's physical and spiritual benefits. You have salvation in Christ. You no longer walk in darkness. You walk in light in Christ. That means you have a purpose. You know what you're doing. You know where you're going. You know things to say. You know things not to say. You know where to go, where not to go. You know that one day you're going to surpass time where you going when God comes and calls you and you go to heaven with him, you will never see a night again. You won't even see a mirror. You don't even know what you look like. But all you know, you're beautiful because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. The plan of salvation, you have to hear God's word. We said it earlier. Faith come by hearing God's word. You have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. He must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to repent. The Bible says, unless we repent, we shall likewise perish. Why perish when we know that God is real? Amen. Is God real? Yes. There's a song that says, real, real, Christ so real to me. I love him and he gave me the victory. We have to confess our faith. As we just read in 2 Timothy, if we confess Christ, he will confess us before the Father. But if we deny him, you're on your own. And you say, he deny you also, because that is right. How could you deny a person that creates you and say he doesn't exist? Now, the last step is that we must be baptized. Peter replied then, and he says in Acts 2:38, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must be baptized to become a Christian. You hear the Savior invitation this morning. You may rise as we sing the song of invitation.
Amen. There are some